Welcome to Hoboken Grace. We're super excited to have you. I hope that you are ready to celebrate because we have been celebrating all day and it's just going to continue. If you came in today looking for like a really somber experience of church, I'm sorry. You came to the wrong place. You're probably going to be very, very disappointed. You probably would be on just about any Sunday here at Hoboken Grace, but especially today, because it's just a huge celebration, and we're going to be celebrating baptisms. We've been celebrating baptisms all day. I'm like cold up here because my shirt under this is wet, and so I'm trying to stay warm, but it's just been phenomenal. And we had one individual baptized in the early service today, two individuals uptown, one individual in Hamilton, and you guys are going to be able to see the video today from the one this morning. So it's just awesome, awesome, awesome what God's been doing throughout the entire day. And it's just a beautiful day out, isn't it? Aren't you guys just celebrating the fact that it's warm? Oh my goodness. It's amazing. And then it's the Arts and Music Festival day. How many of you went to the Arts and Music Festival before you came here? Priorities, my friends. Priorities. Come on. Arts and Music Festival is awesome, isn't it? How many of you have never been to the Arts and Music Festival? You definitely need to go check it out. It's just a ton of fun. Just Washington packed with people, especially on a day like today. And Drew's up there with the Hoboken Grace tent, and he's out there just letting people know what we're doing and what we're about. It's awesome. And then you got the festival going out there, and then we brought the festival in here, and you guys will get to see that and what that's about in just a little bit, and what's going on with the different tables that are set up around here. And we're going to give you tons and tons of food. And I think one table has ice cream sandwiches, which I'm hoping there are leftovers there. Not really. They're not gluten-free. I can't eat them. But they look phenomenal. And it's just been a huge celebration all day. And really, if you haven't been with us for the past few weeks, right now we're wrapping up this conversation called Be Free. And we've been talking through over the past few weeks what it means to be free. And the fact that Jesus Christ came and steps into your experience and my experience and says, listen, I've come so that you could be free. And so we've been walking through what that looks like and how we can be free from our past, how we can be free in our future, how we can be free from the weight of the expectations of those around us, how we can begin to live that way every single day. And I just want to let you know, last week we kind of began this conversation of, okay, well, how do I begin to put that in practice? In 4 weeks, we're kicking off a series called Experience. And we're going to be building on that. We're going to be looking at, okay, we've seen what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, how do we experience that? Because I don't think Jesus Christ came and gave his life so that you could know a lot about him. I don't think he came so that you could understand the fact that there's been this unbelievable exchange that's taken place between you and him, where you've been given his righteousness and he's taken your sin. I don't think he came so that you would understand it. I think he came so you would experience it. So that every day you would experience his love, every day you would experience his joy, and that you'd just be soaking that in and just celebrating all the time. And so we're going to begin this conversation called Experience. Next week is Mother's Day, and then we're walking through a 3-week series. It's going to be awesome. It's about faith and work, and how can I begin to thrive at work, and how does my mission fit into work and everything that's going on there. And so we're going to be working through that for the next few weeks, and then we're diving into this conversation called Experience. And so that's what's ahead for us. And so we're just celebrating what we've been walking through and this unbelievable message that we've been given, that Jesus Christ came to set us free. And so today, as we come to the end of this thing, and as we're about to go into all the different celebrations that have to go on today, before we get to that, I just have one question for you. In light of what you've just heard, in light of what we've just walked through, and if you weren't able to be here with us for the last few weeks, I highly, highly encourage you to go back and to listen to the last 5 weeks here at Hoboken Grace and begin on Easter and begin to work through this conversation. It will change the way that you see God, the way that you interact with God, and how you think he interacts with you. It's drastically. But for those of you who have been, as we've walked through this unbelievable message of freedom, my question to you as we come to the end is this: what will you do with it? What will you do with this message? Because I think this message is a message that compels us. I think it's a message that compels us to choose life. I think it's a message that compels us to live a life of love. I think it's a message that compels us to do something with the message. And the more you begin to realize how free you are, the more you begin to realize how God is bringing you into this freedom and how you can leave behind those expectations, the more you're going to begin to realize at the same time how enslaved the people are around you. And the fact that we're experiencing this freedom in the midst of a world that is in slavery. And as we've talked about through the series, it may be that they're in slavery to culture and all the expectations that come with that, and trying to live up to certain standards and trying to find love and security and value in places that are never going to bring them the satisfaction that they're looking for. Or maybe that it's that they're enslaved to this idea of religion and that they have to live up to some expectation or some standard in order for God to love them and value them. It doesn't really matter which one it is. As you begin to realize your freedom and you begin to interact with the world around you, you come face to face with this unbelievable reality, this devastating reality, that we live in a world that is enslaved. And I think when you come to that reality, when you begin to embrace that reality, then you have to answer this question. What are you going to do with what you've been given? With the message that you've received? And I remember in my life, the time in which God began to walk me through this personally. And if you know my story about church at all, you know that growing up, I hated church, man. I hated church. I heard people talk about love a lot in church. I heard people talk about grace a lot in church. They used the word all the time. And yet when I looked around me, there just seemed to be so little love. When I looked around me, there seemed to be almost no grace. And it seemed like people were actually becoming slaves as opposed to finding freedom. It seemed to be the opposite of what it seemed like it was supposed to be. And I hated it. I mean, I hated it. And I'd have these conversations with God where I'd go to him and say, God, I just think you've blown it. It's always interesting because as I meet people, sometimes people will tell me that they hate church. And it's kind of a weird conversation that happens. Somewhere in the conversation, they ask me what I do, and so I tell them I'm a pastor. And sometimes, it's not often, but occasionally, the person will immediately respond with, well, I hate church. And I'm like, well, I love you. But I don't know how to respond to that when they say it, right? But I've learned that I can just kind of bring my own experience into the conversation. So they'll say, well, you know, I just really hate church. And I say, well, I did too. And I used to tell people as we were starting Hoboken Grace, as a matter of fact, we're kind of building this church, starting this church for people who hate church. For people who maybe have heard some pretty awful things about who God is, to help them understand that that's not who he is. For people who've been hurt by people who claim to represent him, to help them understand that that's not who he is. That's not what he wants. That's not what we're working for. And I grew up and I looked at church and like many, I came to the conclusion that, man, this thing is just broken. And I talked to God about it a lot because I believed in God. I loved God. I wanted to know God more. But, man, the church. And I remember in the midst of one of those conversations as I was complaining to God about the church and how it was representing him so poorly, which, by the way, is just a really bad idea. Okay, like if you get nothing else out of today, like just something really practical, it's not great to complain to God about things that he's done. All right, it doesn't work out well. Never has in my life. I doubt it will in your life. When you look at scriptures, never really works out for anybody who does that. But I find myself in this situation and I'm complaining to God about the church and what he's done and the fact that, man, this is not working out and this is not the way it's supposed to be. And in the midst of that, all of a sudden, God asked me a question. He says to me, Chris, are you going to just sit here and whine about it? Or are you going to do something about it? Chris, are you just going to sit here and whine about the fact that I'm misrepresented? And this is where it got personal. He said, or do you care about me enough to do something? Do you care about me enough to get out there and represent me the way I deserve to be represented? Because I've given you the ability to change this. And that conversation put me on a journey that changed my life. And you see, in your life, as you look at the people around you, your friends and your coworkers and your neighbors and your family, there's going to be someone who defines God for them. There's going to be someone who represents God to them. There's going to be someone who steps in and says, this is how God works, and this is what God looks like, and this is how God interacts with you. Someone's going to do that. And every single one of us has a decision of whether we're going to stand back and allow someone else to be that voice or whether we'll be that voice. What are you going to do with the message that you've heard? What are you going to do? Here at Hoboken Grace, we believe that we've been placed in this place at this time for a very specific reason. We believe that God has put us here at this place in this time to be that voice. We believe that God has called us to not stand back and to allow someone else to represent him, but to, because of the message that he's given us, to step forward with everything that we have and to represent him as best as we possibly can. This is one of the reasons why in my life I love the book of 1 John. I mean, I just absolutely love the book of 1 John. And sometimes people, when they hear me say that, they're like, I don't understand why. And if you've ever read the book of 1 John, you know that it's kind of a difficult book. It's a harsh book. It's an intense book, because inside the book, John's writing to this church, and at certain times in the book, he actually says some really difficult things. I mean, at one point, he looks at them and says, listen, you're lying to yourself if you think that you know Jesus Christ. You're lying to yourself if you think that you're following Jesus Christ, because you're not. It's the way that you're living life is nothing like how Jesus Christ lived his life. And the truth is, if you don't understand the backstory to 1 John, you're going to struggle to understand 1 John, because the backstory to 1 John is that John has this unbelievable relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you read through the Gospels, you begin to realize that probably the closest person to Jesus Christ is John. They're just unbelievably close friends. And so as John is living his life with Jesus, he's getting closer and closer to him and seeing how he loves and seeing how he lives. And so he gets to this point as he's watching this church operate where he's looking at what they're doing and he's remembering his friend, and it just becomes unbelievably personal. And so he writes to them and he's like, you've got to be kidding me. There's no way that you know my friend. Because if you knew my friend, there's no way that you would represent him like that. And I love the book of 1 John because it calls me back to this question over and over and over and over again. What will you do with it? Will you be the one who stands up and does everything that you can to make sure that he's represented as best as he possibly can be? And believe me, I understand. And in this conversation, I'm very much aware of the fact that that none of us can represent him the way that he deserves to be represented, and that we will fall short. But here's what we believe here at Hoboken Grace. We believe that we have been called to give everything that we can, everything day in and day out, as we're going to work or as we're here on Sundays or as we're engaging those around us in our community, that we're giving everything that we can to represent him as best as he can be represented, as best as he can be represented. And as you come to be part of Hoboken Grace, and one of the amazing things that's happened for our family over the past few months is that we've just continued to grow. I mean, today as we walk through these baptism celebrations, it's amazing just to see all of the different people who are taking these steps and to see all of the people who are celebrating this together. It's phenomenal. But for those of you who've begun to be part of our family over the past few months or maybe over the past few years, I want for you to understand that at the very core of this is this understanding and this idea that we are here with everything that we have to make sure that God is represented the way that he deserves to be represented. And in that, you need to understand a few things that we believe about this mission. Number one, we don't believe that this mission is something that you live on your own. We don't believe that this is something that you do on your own. We believe that this is something that we do together. And I know sometimes that's communicated, or this idea is communicated that way, that listen, you go represent Christ to your neighbors, and you go represent Christ to your coworkers, and you go represent, and it's this idea that, okay, you have an individual responsibility. I don't believe when you look at God's word that that's what he's calling us to. I think he's calling us to a collective responsibility, and we believe here that we do this together. From the beginning of Hoboken Grace, one of the crucial passages that we've gone back to over and over and over again is this passage in Romans chapter 12. I want to take you there today. It says this. It says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong together. This is not something that we do individually. This is something that we do together. And this idea that we're going to step into our culture and to take this message and to give everything that we can to bring it to those around us is something that we do together. And not only is it something that we do together, but it's also something that it's not a mission that's beyond us. It's a mission that's actually built into us. Listen to what it says as it continues in verse 6. It says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. This mission is not beyond us. This mission is built into us. The very core of who we are. And it doesn't matter who you are. God has given you a unique and special ability that together with those around you has the ability to change the world, to change the way that people see God. So we're constantly in the midst of this conversation where we're challenging one another to be able to figure out, okay, how has God gifted you? How has God designed you? And how can you begin to use that to impact the lives of those around you? How can you begin to use that to bring this message to as many people as humanly possible? It's not a mission that we live alone, and it's not a mission that is beyond us, but a mission that's built into us. And then it's also crucial that you understand that this is a mission that changes lives. It's a mission that changes lives. And throughout the entire morning, we have been celebrating the fact that this is a mission that changes lives. And we haven't just been talking about it. We've been celebrating it. And so we saw these individuals come and take the step of baptism this morning, and we've seen them in these different spaces throughout the day taking this step of baptism. And for those of you who don't understand baptism, baptism is a physical illustration of something that's happened inside of our lives spiritually. And so the Bible says that when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, that who you once were died. And that person has been made new. And you've been made literally new from the inside out. And so in baptism, you go under the water and come up out of the water. It's a physical symbol of something that's happened spiritually in your life, in your lives. And so throughout the day, we've been celebrating that.